your baggage behind. Okay. Did you just say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I just looked it up.
Yeah, I was in the process of looking it up, and then I found it, and I was like, I feel like that's what Dave just said.
There's only one, yeah.
Yeah, and it's short and simple, which is good for me. What's up? This is Movies On Up. Leave your baggage behind. I would never leave my co-host behind. That is Mr. Dave Bacella.
I'm wonderful.
That is the wonderful Dave Bacella. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Leave your baggage behind is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, you can send your guest to us in one of the following ways. You can email it to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guest to us at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct and if we choose you, you will no longer have to lust after the wonderful Movies On Up prize packages that will be delivered directly to you. We're about a day late, so happy belated Valentine's Day, as that was yesterday. Our Valentine's gift to all of our listeners is generally love-themed. I think we've done, like, our favorite romantic comedies.
Yeah, and isn't it Romantic comes out this week with Rebel Wilson?
Right. Romantic comedy.
Like a romantic comedy send-up spoof-ish.
Yeah, which got us to thinking
Lampoon.
About one of our favorite romantic comedy send-up lampoons, and that is They Came Together from 2014. So we have not done a movie episode on that movie yet. We have talked about it a couple times on the show.
I generally try to bring up David Wayne any chance I get.
Fair enough, yeah.
Paul Rudd.
It is a movie that we both like, full of a lot of people that we both like. The aforementioned Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Bill Hader, Ellie Kemper. I mean, you could literally...
Mantzoukas, Randall Park.
Yes, this cast is just nuts. And we will mention some other folks that play different roles in the movie a little bit later on. But like I said, we could literally spend the entire podcast listing the people that are in it. It is that full of famous people and really funny people. What we can't really spend a whole lot of time doing is talking about box office. Generally, we like to lead with the box office numbers. I actually couldn't find any numbers either on Box Office Mojo or The Numbers. Those are two sites I use a lot. I did find that it had a limited theatrical release. It must be very limited because there is no data for domestic money that They Came Together would have earned in its box office release, which was June 27th of 2014. It was also released to VOD the same day, which is the way I saw it.
And see, that's crazy to me because David Wayne is one of my favorite directors, and I've mentioned it many times on this show. So to me, like, a David Wayne movie is an event. For some reason,
With Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler.
I thought I remembered this movie being advertised on telly and getting a release, and I thought I remembered that, but I guess I didn't. But I know I was excited to see it, and I saw it as soon as I could, and I loved it. I don't know. I guess this movie is more underrated than I thought.
I don't think it's underrated on this show. It's definitely underseen. The only box office figures I could find was an international figure of almost $83,000 on a $3 million budget.
Which is on par with Wet Hot American Summer, I think, and The 10. I think both of those were less than, or no, I think The 10 was almost, The 10 did $769,000, and then Wet Hot American Summer did $295,000. Neither of those breaking box office records.
No.
But
they all broke six figures, however, but not They Came Together. It is odd in that some of those guys that were in Wet Hot were not nearly as famous as they are now, but you have a lot of stars from that movie. I guess it's sort of the peak of their powers. Amy Poehler was a big star in 2014, so was Paul Rudd. So you would think that a movie with those two could gross a little more than $83,000. Nonetheless, we can't really tell you where it fits on the all-time domestic charts because that would just be a waste of time.
It did make more domestically than A Stupid and Futile Gesture, though, which went straight to Netflix last year.
Well, there you go.
So
it kind of occurred to me that there are times on the podcast where we use terms to describe movies. Sometimes they have been terms that we have invented on Movies On Up. The McAvoy turn or David Wayne at his David Wayne-iest. We explain the McAvoy thing. We explain Worthless Worthington. And I think David Wayne-iest doesn't need an explanation. But a term that we do use not as, quite as much, but often enough, I think is self-aware. And I don't really think that we ever spend the time to define what that is. We just assume that you know. And that is probably true for, I would say, the vast majority of people, but not necessarily for everyone. But if I had to define a self-aware movie, I think I would just point to They Came Together as the ultimate example of what that term actually means.
Because it comes down to everybody in the cast knows exactly what they're doing. You have really funny people and some really good actors just overacting. Like Max Greenfield in the argument with Paul Rudd, that scene's great because they're just both overdoing it. And all his line delivery is like, me too. It feels like you're watching a bad play at times, but they know that.
The actors know what they're doing. The characters are even self-aware to know that the situations they're in are played out and their characters are sort of archetypal. And that's something that I think the best spoofs or lampoons or satire, parody, whatever you want to call it, the best ones, I think, are the ones that are the most self-aware because they're really able to take aim at the genre and hit the parts of it that we all, if not are consciously aware that this is such a played out thing in a horror movie or a teen comedy, whatever it is, if we're not aware of it at the top of our mind, once we see it on the screen, you recognize that, oh, they're making fun of the fact that this always happens in these kind of movies.
I bet your story would open with the skyline shots of Manhattan.
Exactly. And this movie, even in the poster, you have the skyline of Manhattan.
It's almost like New York is it's a separate character in the movie.
Yes, that's on the poster. Those words are on the poster. You don't even have to watch the trailer to know that this movie is what we would call self-aware. It knows that it is a spoof of a particular genre. And I think like the gold standard for spoofing, I look at a couple Leslie Nielsen movies, either Airplane, which is kind of spoofing that whole disaster craze in the 70s, and then Naked Gun, which is your police films in the 80s. Those, I think, are obviously very self-aware of the genres that they're spoofing. And I don't know that this is, I think it's every bit as funny, but I just don't think that it's going to be in that class.
I'm struggling to say what I want to say. It's more subtle than Airplane, I think. I think the bits are not as...
Some of them, yes.
Yeah, some of them are very... They're more subtle than Airplane. But it's very, very joke-heavy. I just rewatched it today. It's almost like there are too many jokes. Like we talked about, we did a Super Troopers episode. It's like it's a bunch of 10-minute scenes that are thrown together. Like there's a bunch of skits that form a story. This isn't like that. This is a bunch of jokes that form a story. It's very joke heavy. It's nonstop, but it's not over the head. Like some of them are so subtle, like Ellie Kemper's in this. I think The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is a great show, but it's almost anxiety inducing because of the jokes per second is like ridiculous. There are so many jokes crammed into a minute that sometimes it's hard to keep up with. This is still very, very high joke per minute, but it gives you time to breathe. Like with the grandma scene. Like, that's funny, but it's not hitting you over the head with jokes. The bar scene and the patient. David Wayne and Showalter, the writer, Michael Showalter, they have this patience to where, you know, it's not a 15-minute Peter versus chicken fight on Family Guy,
right,
where it just goes to the point where it's like not funny, and then it's just funny maybe because it's still going on. He knows how to go just far enough to stop. Like, the, oh, tell me about it. Well, it's like,
you can say that again.
That bit goes on for so long. But there's just this air of like, oh, this time it's going to be different. There's that air of unpredictability. I put it up there with Airplane and even like Blazing Saddles, I think would be a more apt comparison because I feel like that was closer to They Came Together than Airplane and Police Academies, because those were...
They were a bit slapsticky.
Yeah.
And this doesn't necessarily rely on that as much. But you mentioned the jokes and the amount of jokes. Most of the jokes in this movie kind of do come at the expense of the romantic comedy tropes, like I had mentioned. And Katie Airbland over at Film School Rejects has a list of 20 that she picked out just in the trailer. And if you want to sit through, I think the movie runs about 80 minutes. If we were to list every trope from romantic, I'm not sure we'd catch them all to start with. There would be so many. You could very easily spend the balance of this podcast just listing the jokes, like, oh, and then they made fun of this, and then they made fun of this. They're able to do that because romantic comedies really have been around in one form or another since the invention of the medium. So you have 100 years of stuff to pull from, whether it's, you know, our two characters get off to a bad start during their meet cute. It's the two Ben Franklin's thing, or they share a seemingly inane interest for fiction books, or you have a group of characteristics that are posing as human beings talking about relationships during a sporting event. That's kind of like a twofer there.
Ken Marino, Keenan Swish, Thompson, Jack McBray. Oh, Ken Marino in this. I love every Ken Marino performance, but this one's so
small. This is a good one.
It's so good.
I don't even know how many there are right there.
I mean, New York is a character.
Yeah.
The not fully over the ex, the dating somebody who isn't right for you just as kind of a rebound.
Why would anybody not read this? It's not true.
My favorite jokes is when David Wayne shows up. He doesn't put himself in his movies a whole lot, but he knows how to steal scenes when he's in them. Is Greg Fart talking about why it didn't go right with his wife, and what did she want? I don't know. You'd have to ask my brother. Is he here? Can I ask him? Oh yeah. Why didn't things work out? He just goes into this, like, she wanted to travel and it didn't fit his lifestyle that he wanted. It's such a subtle, stupid joke, but I love it.
There's also some things that are not quite as subtle. You have the jokes that are subtle romantic comedy kind of jokes, and then you have stuff that seems like it would be like a bit from the state, and you don't need to look much further than the drawing Dave put up for this episode. It's Maloney at the costume having to poop.
That is one of my favorite bits in a movie ever. Not just a comedy, but I love Christopher Maloney is such a good actor, and he's this big intimidating guy, and for Wayne he just lets loose. He stole the show in Wet Hot American Summer.
The Dick Cream.
Yeah, that scene is so good. Everything about it, the design, his little curl coming out of the shower cap, and just how he delivers the only logical explanation. And what's great about that scene though is it's so funny and it's so good. And him walking out the door, I'm disappointed in all of you. That's funny. That's a great bit. But David Wayne and Showalter and all of the state always know how to go just one little step further, where as soon as he leaves, Mantzoukas looks around. Who do you think it was? Like, it's that one joke that sells it. It's the goodbye mailbox of this movie. And that's where it's so good, is if you've ever seen the state, there's the taco delivery guy. That's a funny sketch. It's a great sketch about a mailman who's no longer delivering mail. He's just delivering tacos. And it ends with just goodbye mailbox, and the mailbox just walks away. It's not needed in that skit, but it just adds to it. And there's a bunch of stuff like that, like just little add-ons or tags that aren't needed. You already have this great thing, and it's just that dialing it up to 11 that just delivers it so much more.
So I think with this movie, there's an obvious appeal to fans of the state. They're probably the most likely to have sought this movie out because of Wayne and Showalter. If you like their humor, you're going to try and seek out anything they do, which I'm sure is kind of what brought Dave to it. But I also think if you're a fan of the Netflix movies from the Summer of Love stuff, you're going to recognize the tropes that they're kind of lampooning in this movie, but you're also going to see them from the state perspective, so it can kind of introduce you into their humor. And we've already mentioned the scene at the bar. To me, that's kind of the best example of state humor making fun of a trope. You've always got this scene where the formula is guy gets girl, guy loses girl. Before guy gets girl back, he usually ends up at a bar. And when Paul Rudd goes into the bar, that's straight out of a rom-com. It's formula, right out of the rom-com manual. But then you get the state humor where we have a seemingly a 5-minute loop conversation with the bartender. You can say that again. Tell me about it. You can say that again. So much so that Bill Hader just stops it.
All right, and, we get the point.
Right, brings us back into the restaurant, out of the flashback, so to speak. That's exactly a statement. You mentioned Peter fighting a chicken for 16 minutes.
Another one is he's standing outside the candy shop practicing his apology. So they go to try outfits on because she looked like a chimney sweep. And it's this montage of trying on outfits and the friends saying no. And then she comes out of the back and she's just in full knight armor. Like, it's so stupid. It's so unexpected. It's just ridiculous. That's a funny scene anyway, but then you just up the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah, state stuff, maybe Wet Hot has a narrow appeal to people that just like that kind of humor, but I do think there's a more broad appeal here. I don't want to, accessible is another word that we use a lot. I don't want to necessarily say that this is the most accessible David Wayne movie you're going to find. I don't believe that to be the case, but I do think it's a nice marriage between what he usually does and what he does very well and a more traditional comedy. And I think part of that is because of the leads that he has, Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd, who is no stranger to the romantic comedy genre. They're both able to carry off the David Wayne style humor and an actual romantic comedy.
Yeah, and that's why I love that Rudd did this one. Because, I mean, they did a romantic comedy together. This was 2 years after Wanderlust. And Role Models was the most accessible. And that was $85 million, the biggest hit of his career by far, David Wayne. But it's not just the leads. Like, and that's what a lot of the reviews were like, oh, it's silly, but the chemistry between those two is worth watching. But it's all the small characters. It's your Christopher Maloney. It's Michael Ian Black. Just like, I want you to change your mind. That would mean I'd still have a job. Like, it's Michael Shannon showing up at the end. It's,
yeah.
Like, even Negan. Like, it's just, it's all the small, Ken Marino showing up for 5 minutes and stealing the scenes.
Kobe, like, Smulders. There's a lot of, like, really great people.
And that's, you know, you look at Role Model. Yeah, it's Bobby Thompson or whatever his name is, Chris from Mintz Pass, Sean William Scott, and Paul Rudder. But you got Gene Smart. David Wayne steals every scene he's in that. He's got these small characters that come out and just, that's what Wanderlust was full of. It's all those characters stole the show. But he does that, and that's what's great. He's making these movies almost from a sketch standpoint where it's like everybody gets their chance to shine. It's almost like an improv troupe. Like, there's not a star. Like, everybody in this scene has their moment.
Nobody is the straight man in this movie. You can't point to, oh, it's Paul Rudd's just like, if this were a romantic comedy, I'd be the not too Jewish guy. And, oh, if it
you're
were
just
I,
Jewish enough.
Right. Yeah. I would be the klutzy. Everybody, while they're playing like a stereotypical character in one of these movies and they're well aware of that, everyone is able to carry the humor. This is a comedy. There is some romance. There's marriages and stuff. But it's also a comedy. It doesn't shy away from the comedy, and it lets everybody take part in that. Which I think is great, because Amy Poehler, I think, is a fantastic comedic actress, and she has some of the bigger laughs in the movie, whether it's just like one of the more subtle things, or like you said, the knight outfit. That's wonderful. I love seeing stuff like that, and I love that everybody gets to play in that sandbox. Something else that I love a lot, we've been doing this show, I counted today, I didn't count, I looked on the movies on the site, and we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 430 episodes, give or take. That's counting the news episodes that we used to do way back in the day. And going back to those, we used to do trailers where we would talk about just every trailer that dropped that week.
I'm a trailer guy.
Right.
Ryan hated that part.
Yes, I did.
I'd give him like 9 trailers a week to watch, and he hated it.
Yeah, and most of the time I'd watch some of them. But I really think that had we not had that type of format in 2014, I probably would have missed this movie. I guarantee that this was a trailer that dropped, and it was just when we were looking at everything. And we saw this and saw, oh, Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, in basically a state romantic comedy. Yeah, I can't wait to see this. And the fact that it appeared on VOD probably only 2 to 3 months after we did the trailer made it very easy for us to watch. But this being such a small movie, these are the ones that, I mean, I like talking about Star Wars. I can't wait to see Captain Marvel and talk about that. But those are movies I don't think that's why people listen to this, to hear what my opinion of the Avengers is going to be, or you don't need me to tell you Star Wars comes out in December. I think people listen to shows like us because they have a similar mind, and nobody can possibly see everything. So you want people that have similar tastes to vet things for you and bring you something that you would normally miss. And if I get the opportunity to do that with something like They Came Together, I'm so happy to do it, because I guarantee people miss this movie.
Yeah, and I mean, we did, for our 6th anniversary last May, we did our 6 movies that define us or whatever. Or no, we did movies that we're thankful for at some point. Wet Hot American Summer was one of mine because, you know, growing up, I've said many times, The State and Mr. Show are where my sense of humor came from. My buddy Zane and I, who's been my best friend since 5th grade, would sit and watch The State and watch Mr. Show, and we still text each other all day, every day, 20-some years later. So Wet Hot American Summer brought me, when I moved to Ohio, I met friends that had seen it and liked it, and that's when I knew, like, okay, these are my friends now. Like, this is, and They Came Together as one of those, where if I'm talking to somebody and it's like, oh, I love that movie, we're friends, because it's such a, not niche, but it's like, if you like this movie, like, we're gonna have a lot in common. That's why it blows my mind that I did not realize this was such a small movie. But I've said many times, like, I hold David Wayne on a very high pedestal, like him and Matthew Vaughn and Danny Boyle. Like, if I'm rattling off my favorite directors, he's going to be one of the first 3 or 4 names that I come up with, because, not just because of that, I really like his movies and I really like him as a director. And when the whole Edgar Wright is another one, Edgar Wright, Matthew Vaughn, Boyle, and Wayne would be the first ones. But when Wright left Ant-Man, you know, I tried to start a Twitter campaign for Wayne for Ant-Man, because I wanted to see him direct Paul Rudd in a superhero movie, which I would love to see David Wayne do something. I'd like to see him get back in the studio system and make something that he wants to, not like a cop-out, Kevin Smith getting in, but like get the chance to do something he wants to do again. Because even something like Stupid and Futile Gesture, it was a biopic, not like a biopic you've seen before. It was great. He took the story that wasn't just from his brain, and he still made it a David Wayne movie. So, I mean, yeah, it blows my mind. I want everybody to see this movie. I wish everybody had seen it. Let's all watch it together. Come on over.
Those kind of movies, a lot of times I worry when I'm putting a list together that either we're talking about the same 50 movies all the time, and that just gets boring. Well, what order are they going to put these 50 in this time? Or that we're talking about movies that too much that people don't know. We don't want to be so self-referential or so exclusionary that people don't feel like they can listen, because, oh, they're just going to talk about 10 movies that I've never heard of in my life. I would like it to be accessible to the most amount of people as possible. Like, yeah, we're going to talk about the Avengers and Star Wars, movies that everybody's going to see. And if you kind of agree with us and agree with our opinions on those movies, maybe something that you haven't seen or heard of, you're going to go maybe to Amazon or somewhere and try and see something like this, because you either trust us enough or you're bored enough to want to take a chance on something like this. And I think we do a decent job of trying to straddle that line with movies that you're going to know about and be like, oh yeah, that's right, that would be one of my favorites of this genre too. And then more like on a discovery thing and say, all right, well, if you really like romantic comedies, this is a movie that, you know, as a guy, you could totally watch with your wife, your girlfriend.
Side piece.
Yeah, whatever, your significant other. And
Judge Judy.
And she will really be interested in watching this. She's in it.
Yeah, her and Nora Jones have like 2 awesome
characters. Yeah, so that'll be really fantastic to watch sitting next to her. I think she's relatively free nowadays. But I think it's a movie that is funny, and I think people will like, but it's also one that certainly flew under the radar. And if you weren't looking for it specifically, I think you could have missed.
My problem, we worry about doing the same 50 movies all the time. My worry is that when we do movie episodes, every one of them is us raving about a specific movie, but because we pick the movies.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, we pick the movies we watch.
Why pick something we're not going
to
like?
Yeah, so like to do an episode, like I have to rewatch the movie. So rarely do we do an episode. Maybe we'll do something that I love and Ryan doesn't like, or vice versa.
Or something you've never seen.
Yeah.
And don't know you don't like yet.
Yeah, or vice versa. But, you know, generally the whole point of this show is we love movies. And ideally, if you like movies, you like us talking about them. And the goal is to make you want to go watch movies. Even if you don't go watch They Came Together, go watch Set It Up Again. I don't care. Zoe Deutsch is worth it. But just, I just love movies, and we try to get that through. And that's why I like, for this episode, it was because it's Isn't It Romantic comes out. And generally try to theme it, thought, oh, I loved The Final Girls, the director's other movie. We could do that, but we talk about horror movies so much, so let's do another rom-com spoof and do They Came Together, because when am I going to get, like why we did Serenity when a movie named Serenity came out, because when am I going to get a chance to do another episode?
Paul Rudd may have a movie that comes out.
Yeah.
You know. I think we're in a pretty decent mood this week talking about a movie that we like. That may change. Next week is our Oscar pick'em, which I don't know. It generally, the more I talk about the Oscars, it kind of pisses me off.
Heavy, kind of.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's a possibility that I may not rant that much next week, that I'm just going to kind of give you my picks. Dave will give you his. I've got some factoids. Those are always fun for various categories, where if you are able to listen to that the Friday before the Oscars, you can probably impress some people or not when you have your Oscar viewing party. But we're going to give you our picks in the categories that we care about. The other ones, we'll give you the picks during the commercials of this show. But we may be in not as good of a mood then. But then I guess October is kind of like our horror movie month. February this year is sort of a, we're going to have a little celebration of love here, because we're going to come back with
love stories in 2 weeks from now as well.
Yeah. Love stories of a fashion. So come back next week and win your Oscar pool, and then 2 weeks, find out exactly what kind of love stories we're teasing. But until then,
keep it up.